I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Contributor Alex Province, and who's a wine and cocktail guy, too. We have producers Laurie Mack and Jonathan McNichol, and you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, that they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. We are going wall-to-wall salads. We're starting to crave these. And you can make a salad so that it feels light in this season, or it feels hearty, and it's the entree. And we've lined up many of our favorites. We've gone to some of our colleagues we think are doing fantastic work. And so we're going to tell you about the buffalo chicken salad that is so easy, that Moroccan chicken salad with fried goat cheese that you first crust with a little chopped pistachios. Wow, is that crazy good. And also, well, Chris has so many of these. It's just nuts. And Alex has some, so we're going to... Laurie, I know you like vegetable salad, so do I. Here we go. Chris, I want you to start with your baked potato salad.
I know, right?
Me too.
Right?
And again, you wouldn't think that's summary, but it's a great way to get baked potato in the summer.
Hello? All right, well, fill us in.
Can you have baked potato and the baked potato salad?
So these are the ingredients. You have Yukon Gold potatoes, baking potatoes, of course, diced red onion, chopped bacon, sliced scallions, chopped broccoli, sour cream, red wine vinegar, and a little bit of kosher salt and black pepper. How does it come together?
So basically, you get all your ingredients that are in a baked potato that you would have, like, you know, remember like going to even a quick service where they give you the baked potato and there's like a topping bar?
It's a baked potato
right, with the sour cream and the you can have broccoli or bacon or whatever. So I took basically all those ingredients and turned it into a pasta salad. So you have the cooked potatoes or potato salad. So you have the cooked potatoes, right? Mm-hmm. And then you mix in those ingredients, right? What's the order?
The diced red onion, the chopped cooked bacon, mm-hmm. sliced scallions, and if you want, cooked broccoli. And you mix that all up together. And then you add sour cream, a little red wine vinegar, some kosher salt, fresh ground black pepper, and mix until all those things are incorporated together. And then give it a taste and adjust it. Do you want a little more salt or a little more pepper?
It's a fun one.
No chunks of cheddar cheese?
No, I was going to say you could even sprinkle at that point, like if you're putting it in a bowl, you could sprinkle some grated cheese on top.
There you go.
That's a really good idea.
It would be like a real, right, baked potato salad.
I love that. I really love that.
And potato salads, what's more American than the
and
summer
than
a potato salad?
And you can do bacon bits on top too, and the cheddar.
Oh, sure. And there's so many different versions of potato salads, right? I mean, we could have a whole show on just potato salads.
So I spend a lot of time in the West Village in New York, and there is what opens on the corner but a baked potato bar.
And I thought, you lived there?
Oh no.
You're
going to
take out? Do they deliver? I'll take a number 6. That's the bacon, broccoli, and cheddar.
So the benefit of those, it's like salad bars. It's like Matt will say, I just had a salad for lunch. Oh, that sounds healthy. Oh, I just had a baked potato for lunch. The baked potato is just like the plate to put all the other stuff onto it.
That's exactly right.
So what was I doing? I got on this kick with the baked potato during the winter where I would forget to buy sour cream, and I'd think, what am I? I'm just going to buy a whole thing of this for one baked potato. So I started putting goat milk yogurt, butter, and a little bit of olive oil on the potato, and it was delicious, absolutely delicious. You would think, really, goat milk yogurt? And then I realized
it's tangy.
That hot potato, you know, salt and pepper, that hot potato absorbing anything with
soaks
the fat
right
and the buttermilky kind of flavor. Oh, boy, it was really good. All right. Well, Chris, I love that baked potato salad. All right, Alex, do you have one?
In Spain, they eat so many salads. And if you go to a tapas bar, they have like cold salads and ensalada ruso and all the potato salads and everything else. But and every single meal they eat, their main meal, they'll have a salad on the side, but like a proper lettuce salad. And my mom makes a salad, and surprisingly simple, but so good. So she uses romaine salad lettuce, which is great because it keep it in the fridge for a while and it lasts. And then a good tomato, some salt. And for a dressing, she just uses really good extra virgin olive oil, no vinegar, surprisingly.
No vinegar.
And it all gets tossed and coated. The salt sticks to the olive oil, which sticks to the lettuce, and the tomato juice sort of runs off everything, and you can do some good, you know, nice Spanish onion. And it's surprisingly simple, but so sophisticatedly delicious. And you try it, and I'm like, Mom, you mean, how did you not use vinegar? You have to use vinegar to make it a vinaigrette. And she's like, nope, just olive oil. It's so tasty and easy.
I would try that.
Yeah, especially in the summer when all the veggies and the lettuce so fresh.
Good.
Yeah, and again, you have different flavors, especially if you do mixes of lettuces. You have different flavors in each lettuce. Some are bitter, some are sweet. So you really don't need any more than just a little bit of olive oil.
You don't. That just sounds delicious.
Look at Lori's like,
Especially if you've got some of those bitter greens. I don't know about the just olive oil and the bitter greens. I can see romaine.
Well, she's using romaine.
Just simple romaine. But Chris was saying with all different lettuces.
See, I like mixing them, though, because then you get the right. So you make your own mix of lettuce. You taste a little – when you're at the farm stand, taste the different lettuces and stuff. And I wonder if that's good etiquette, right, going to the farm stand. But if you get a mix –
They're going to weigh you at the end. Here he comes.
No, but you taste the different lettuce, and they all have a different little flavor. So you can make a nice mix by taking two or three different heads and cutting them up and mixing them together.
But I like dressing.
I like the neutral – I'm a neutral green fan. So although some of the Asian greens out on the east end of Long Island, there's a place called Song Lee. They're Asian family members, and so there are very amazing greens out there, Asian greens that they grow at this organic farm.
We have someone in Connecticut specializing in that now too.
The guy in Middletown,
they're specializing in Asian greens. Yeah, because there's so many different kinds, and they add different layers of flavor.
In our garden, we started growing. Well, this was years ago, but we were growing lettuce, and then the stuff just catches up with you. You have to eat it when it's fresh, and then I let mine all go to seed.
My mom comes up and she's like,
"You're supposed to have eaten it." I know, but I don't want to sell it every day.
I know people who
grow lettuce in window boxes and in pots, not to eat, but because it looks so beautiful,
ornamental.
It's ornamental.
That.
It's gorgeous when it's growing.
There's your answer to your mother the next time she says it.
It's
ornamental.
Really beautiful. Okay, so
here we go. Pass the bacon.
Buffalo chicken salad. Chris and I, especially, we are into everything buffalo. And so this is the easy way. In a way, this is inspired by Ellie Krieger, who's on the Food Network. She does a buffalo chicken salad that has many, many steps. She's building a fairly complicated blue cheese dressing from scratch that involves mayonnaise and sour cream and buttermilk and blah, blah. And I wanted to find something that would be really fast and would use Frank's hot sauce. So here it is. Essentially, we are talking about a boneless, skinless chicken breasts and chopping them up with your favorite greens and then doing a mix in a bowl of Frank's hot sauce and your favorite ranch dressing in a bottle or in a container. Yep. And mix it together until the Frank's and the ranch are, you know, start with a little in that mixture in a bowl till you get just the flavor and a little reference to heat. Or if you're a super hot lover, you go with that. Kick it up, as our buddies used to say. Yeah, whatever. So you get that just right. And then you mix with the chicken and you serve it over the greens or mix it all together as you're dressing, and then add a little bit of crumbled blue cheese on top at the end. Simple.
Chopped celery in the salad, and that's it, right? You got everything.
Yeah, you could put some crispy bacon pieces in there if you want, just for the heck of it.
That's a good one.
Okay, so there you go. That's my easy version of buffalo chicken salad. Super, super easy. Chris, you and Linda Juca have written in The Current about this, and I wanted to bring this back. A shrimp and white bean salad. Now, does that over greens?
It can be. Or it can be just – that's the cool thing about – I think that is one of the coolest things about a salad is it doesn't have to just be over greens. It can just be
– What is a salad?
Yeah, what is a salad? That's a good question. What is a salad?
What is a salad?
I mean, we've turned it into just about anything now. Right, I have stuff that I take off the grill every summer that I call the salad. Right, we've talked about it on the show where we just on Sundays we'll just grill a bunch of vegetables. I season them first, put them on the grill, and then I just rough chop them and I throw a little olive oil and balsamic in it, and I call that a vegetable salad.
And I do the reverse. I take a head of lettuce and coat it in olive oil and sea salt. And I put that head of lettuce, I'm talking about romaine heads. I take out the outer leaves that are a little bit tougher and go to the inside. I coat it in olive oil, salt and pepper, and I put that on the grill and I grill that. And it is delicious that way. And then a little lemon juice on the top just before serving. Yeah. Really, really good that way.
So, okay, so this is salad, just simple, can be anything. Right?
Shrimp and white beans. What do you put in?
So a little bit of olive oil. I like the Vidalia onion in the summer because it's a sweeter onion. A little bit of carrot and zucchini, some salt, red pepper flakes, a little bit of ground coriander, a pound of shrimp. And I like buying the ones that are already cooked, done, peeled, ready to go in the supermarket. So you don't even have to think about what to do with those. Two cans of white beans, and then some fresh chopped parsley, a chopped tomato, and some lemon juice or lime juice. It doesn't even matter.
That sounds pretty simple.
And I cook my vegetables a little bit. I saute them. So I bring up a little bit of oil in a pan. I add the onion, carrot. I cook that a little bit till it just gets softened. And then I add the zucchini and just soften it a little bit so it's not just raw. And then I toss it all in a big bowl. And then you can take that and just eat it with a spoon. Or you can take that and put it on a bed of greens. You can put it in a pita. I think that's the coolest thing about salads. Like you said earlier, doesn't have to just be a side thing. It could be a meal.
That's a nice dip.
That could be a great dip with tortilla chips.
I'm lining up the Moroccan chicken salad with pistachio-crusted fried goat cheese. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to hear from Alex because you have another – is this from Spain again?
So this is my grandpa salad. And, you know, I didn't know them all that well. And I traveled to Spain and didn't really speak Spanish when I was a kid. So we sort of communicated through food. And this was one of the salads that my grandpa always made. And it always served like in a glass container, but he would take really good tomatoes, really good onions and green peppers and slice them fairly thin, and he would sort of lay them out, drizzle it with olive oil and tons of red wine vinegar and lots of salt. Then it would get covered with plastic wrap and put in the refrigerator until it was like icy cold. And then by lunchtime, all the flavors from the tomato and the onion and the salt and the vinegar drew out, you know, and it marinates and macerates. And then we would take crusty bread and then you dip it in the juice. Like tremendous amount of this like pink juice comes out, and you'd squash your bread in and you eat it, and the salt and the vinegar and the tomato.
Pile the tomato.
Oh my gosh.
It.
And you know, and what was left was sort of the veggies that sort of disappeared after, you know, but essentially you ate it through via like crusty bread.
Yes.
And it's so refreshing. This was like in Sevilla when it was hot out, but
that could be the how sandwiches were created. Thousands of years ago, right?
These simple ingredients are so simple, but so delicious.
So you want to have a good olive oil for that one.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's something about that sounds romantic. Bread
it's
in
so
the
hot.
Summer
yeah.
and the
You don't want to eat
flavors.
Drifty curtains blowing
yes.
on the beach.
Smell of salt water.
Oh, yeah. That's so good, Alex. Okay, so again, all of our recipes for salad and even a zillion more that we're not even going to be able to get to on this wall-to-wall salad celebration show are online at foodschmooze.org. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. We have that Moroccan chicken salad. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be ready
Cornbread
tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Brosberry of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, regular contributor Alex Provence, our producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, and thank you for listening. Time to go to a salad that I think is worth worth your time. This is going to take a little bit of extra work, and this is up online just as everything is that we're all the salads and more at foodschmooze.org. I promise you that this is worth the time. Anything that has a melty, crusted, fried goat cheese sitting on top of something is worth your time. And it is not hard to do. It's more assembling these things. There are many spices in here. I want to tell you once again the tip. Sorry for repeating, but I just want to save everybody some money. It can cost a fortune to do spices in the regular supermarket. Sometimes it's so handy to get it there. But because we have quite a number of things here, you can go to your health food store where spices are in bins and get a little plastic baggie amount that you need, maybe a little bit extra so you could save it over. And it will cost you 50 cents, not $4 or $6.50.
I'm seeing some places now that are even packing them like that. So you can buy a tablespoon. Yeah. It's packed in a little, like, you know, plastic baggie, and it's already
still cheaper, 50 cents, 25 cents.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let's begin with the Moroccan chicken. Skinless chicken breast, and you can pound it if you want so that it's all one thickness. And you are going to cut that chicken breast into bite-sized cubes. And then you're going to need some fresh ginger and garlic, a dried chili de arbol, or you can use cayenne pepper, a fresh cilantro, fresh parsley, smoked paprika, cumin, cinnamon, salt and pepper, olive oil, lemon, sun-dried tomatoes, Kalamata olives. You can use some fresh berries for garnishing if you want. Your favorite spring greens. And there you go. You see there's a lot going on in those ingredients. But this is what makes this unbeatable as a salad. As does this, the vinaigrette, which is olive oil, apple cider vinegar, fresh lemon juice, a little bit of honey, fresh cilantro, a chipotle chili pepper, a chopped jalapeno, and salt and pepper. Okay, what's the third ingredient here? We haven't gotten to that pistachio-crusted fried goat cheese yet, and is the most fun. You get a goat cheese log straight out of the supermarket if you want, or from your cheese store, and panko breadcrumbs, those Japanese breadcrumbs in any supermarket, pistachios that you crush up in a plastic bag with the end of a bottle or your rolling pin, some fresh mint, a little bit of pepper, some crushed red pepper flakes, an egg beaten, and a little bit of coconut oil for frying. Okay, so here's how it all comes together. Now, this sounds like 4,000 ingredients, and, you know, you could arguably say that it is. I am telling you this is so unbelievable.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
So
well keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
You get a zippered bag, plastic bag, or you could do this in a bowl. And you'd put the chicken in the bag. And into a food processor, you put the garlic, the ginger, the dried chili, or the cayenne if you're doing it instead, the cilantro, the parsley, the paprika, the cumin, the salt, and the pepper. Oh, see, it's all just dumping. And you just buzz that up for a couple minutes, and then you pour in a nice little steady stream a little bit of olive oil. And so that makes it blend in. And then you pour that over the chicken in the bag and you toss it well with your fingers and put it in the refrigerator. It's great to do it overnight, but 2 hours minimum. And then you can start making your vinaigrette. So in a glass jar, we want a screw lid on this so you can shake it. You could mix it up with a fork in a bowl. The olive oil, the apple cider vinegar, the lemon juice, the honey, the cilantro, the chipotle pepper, the jalapeno, salt and pepper. If you're careful on heat, you don't have to add the jalapeno. And then you just shake it up or whisk it, and you taste it, adjust it, say, okay, that's great. Now, breadcrumbs with pistachio, chopped pistachio nuts, and your chopped mint, a little bit of pepper, red pepper flakes in a bowl together, mix them up, and then in another bowl, the egg. So we're going to do some dipping. So you're going to take a slice of goat cheese, and you dip it in the egg, then you dredge it through the pistachio mixture and press it so that it sticks on there, and do it with all the rounds of goat cheese, and put that in the refrigerator where you're going to cook your chicken, and then you grill your chicken. Then you can do this in a skillet if you want, and just let that chicken, set it aside, let it cool. Now you're going to fry up the goat cheese in a skillet with a little bit of coconut oil in it, about an inch of coconut oil. then you put those rounds in there and you fry them for a couple minutes on each side, and they turn golden brown and get crispy on the outside. Then it's just assembling your greens and the chicken and the sun-dried tomatoes and the olives, and you toss all that up and divide it among the plates, and then each plate gets a warm round of goat cheese, and you drizzle the vinaigrette over everything. You can sprinkle some more chopped pistachios on top of that. I am telling you.
That's dinner.
It is a dinner.
That is dinner.
And I thought it was dinner.
Unbelievably delicious.
So worth the extra steps. Definitely.
It is. It's an assembly
job. I'm just
going to
make the goat cheese.
Yeah, I know.
Give me some toast.
I do.
That's not a salad.
And they're all ingredients that you know.
Yeah. I like that.
And many of them that you may actually have.
Yeah. And it's new. You know, it's just a new flavor profile because it's Moroccan. Mm. But in Morocco, they know how to put these things together where you try this Moroccan salad. I was just in a Moroccan restaurant and you think, wow, that's good. What is that? What's in there? These things I just mentioned. We all have access to these things. And so it's different. It's a little bit something
just
different.
Just a combination of what they use, right?
Crazy delicious. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Alex. Okay, Chris, can you tell us about your...
I have a definition for salad.
Oh, right off of where?
Right off of my favorite source, which is always right 100% of the time, Wikipedia.
Oh boy.
Okay, maybe not 100% of the time, but this time I'm going with
it. It's very, very accurate.
It's very accurate.
It really is. 99.9%.
A salad is a dish containing of small pieces of food mixed with a sauce. Salads can be based around a wide variety of foods, including vegetables, fruits, and cooked meats, eggs, and grains.
But just small pieces of food mixed with a sauce.
Yeah, well, that's as simple as that.
But Faith's romaine and olive oil on the grill are not small pieces. It's one piece of vegetable.
It's a large salad.
Uh-oh.
And it's a salad.
Uh-oh.
So
I think the accuracy rate
just dropped. No. We can add to Wikipedia.
or the more likely scenario, I don't know what I'm talking about.
So basically pasta can be a salad.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. Oh, no, I think
not
anything.
Just pasta salad, but I mean like pasta hot pasta can be a salad.
This is how we talk to it's how we self-soothe.
Yes, I'm just having salad.
I am going to have pasta salad tonight.
That's right.
Cereal is a salad.
Cereal is a salad.
Seem healthy.
No,
salad is healthy.
That's right.
All right. Having a steak salad.
chorizo sausage potato salad.
And that's an easy recipe.
How great
is
this?
I mean, I think that's why I like it, because it is quite simple. You have to find some good chorizo. You can use the stuff you cook in the grocery store, which is good. But if you go to a Spanish market, like Casa de Sol has a little mercado in the restaurant, you can get the real stuff, which is called
Palacios,
or
Palacios.
Yes, and you can get that in spicy or mild. I like the spicy. It's not that hot, and it is just wonderful stuff. So you start off with cooked potatoes, and I like to cube them up when they're still warm, and I like to toss them with the dressing while they're still warm. Not hot, but just,
they absorb it.
Yes, and when the warm potatoes, you mix stuff to warm potatoes, they sort of soak the juices in. Ooh. So you take the cubed potatoes, put it in a large mixing bowl, you take
the cooked chorizo.
Yeah, you take the chorizo, and you put it in a pan, and you sort of like render out all that good juice that comes from it.
So that's paprika and garlic oil that's in there.
Mm-hmm. And then you take the chorizo, add it to it, add chopped onions, scallions, maple syrup, a little red wine vinegar, and mix well.
And capers.
And a little bit of capers. And that all gets mixed in. The potatoes turn this like beautiful, reddish orange color.
Yeah.
And that flavor of the chorizo is your main thing, with a little acidity from the vinegar and the capers.
Sounds very Spanish to
me. Yeah, it's a Spanish recipe, but boy, I'm telling you, if you can take the extra time again and find that Palacios chorizo, it's well worth it, because
it's
sold
so many places now.
Yeah.
I'm amazed it's not in supermarkets.
No. It will be eventually.
Any specialty market, in fish stores,
online.
I mean, just online.
Yum.
Everything online, you'll see. In fact, every salad we're talking about in this salad celebration is up online, and more that we can't even get to. Alex, take us to your – are we doing Spanish again? Or
so I'm going to do a salad niçoise, so I guess more southern French.
Yeah.
So this one's really easy. And you know when you come home from work and it's hot out and you don't really feel like cooking or eating really? Salad niçoise hits the spot. And we just take, again, romaine lettuce, because it lasts so long in the refrigerator, and you can sort of always have it in a plastic bag. And then I'll chop up some red onion, even some green beans. I throw in some olives, And if in the tuna fish section of the grocery store, there's really good Spanish tuna fish that comes in olive oil. And it's more expensive than the other stuff, but it's so dense. So one little can, even though it's small, it's so packed in there and has delicious olive oil. It's so flavorful, exactly. And I'll take that. And I'll just, with a fork and a bowl, sort of break it up and mix in the olive oil. I'll cook some eggs, you know, hard-boiled eggs, and then basically just assemble it with the romaine lettuce, really good extra virgin olive oil, toss it all together, some salt, throw in my chopped eggs, my tuna fish. I'll throw in, you know, a little red wine vinegar, and you don't even have to whisk everything together. You just sort of put it together. Yeah. And then you can chill it if you want. But once you start eating, you're not hungry. And then you take a few bites. You're like, I guess I am hungry. And before you know it, you'll devour this thing. And you're getting all your protein and, you know, and it's nutritious and it's healthy.
I love a niçoise salad. I'm so glad you did that. I want to make a comment about the tuna and see if there's a way that we could brainstorm about where you might get a substitute. You just have to bear in mind that that tuna, no matter where it's from, these little jarred tunas are wildly expensive. It could be, I've seen it anywhere from $13 to $22 for a tiny jar.
Oh, my.
It is unbelievably delicious because it's the belly.
It's like a tuna steak, really.
But it's also velvety, and it's not like any canned tuna. So although I buy, you know, just that Genova olive oil tuna, you know, because
that works too.
Yeah, but Alex, my preference is to do what
The other way you can do it is get flash frozen tuna that comes like hermetically sealed. That's super, super fresh. It's almost like sashimi grade. And then we'll take that if we're feeling adventurous, and you can grill it, you know, and you don't even need to cook it through. You can almost leave it, you know, medium rare, you know, or rare even, and we'll use that. But then again, you're still spending more, you know, you're spending $10 for that.
I've substituted in a salad like this all summer long, and even into the winter. I've switched over to sardines.
Those are good.
They're lower in any of the heavy metals, and they're dirt cheap. I get the cans. I'll look for when they go on sale. I can get like 3 for $5.
Not the dented cans.
No. They'll just, you know, there's Spanish ones. There's all kinds, and every supermarket has a different line that they carry. And they'll go on sale like $3 for $5 every once in a while. You just have to look for it. And if you like that kind of fish thing, I love sardines in olive oil, and they're high in omega-3. Mm. I actually switched from taking my eye doctor prescribed me to take those pills that have omega-3 fatty acids. And I switched doing that by eating a can of sardines.
Okay.
And it's
I eat a lot of sardines.
Oh, my gosh. And on a salad like that, it is just wonderful. And again, at a 16th of the cost. And you can get it in any supermarket.
Would it be possible? I'm just thinking this through. I know it's not tuna, but is it possible to poach shrimp, chopped shrimp, poach uncooked shrimp in a little bit of olive oil, and so that they become infused with the fattiness of the olive oil.
It's like gambas al ajillo.
Yes, right? And so you would poach it at a very low temperature, and then use that in place of, because the shrimp are going to be less expensive than this.
You can do salmon that way too. Yeah, we do a lot of that in the summer where we take salmon not great olive oil, but just a really good olive oil, and put it in a pan under a very low heat and poach the salmon in the olive oil. And then you can break that up and put it on salads. It's wonderful.
When the olive oil is good enough, you want to eat it. So it's like the same way I make my French fries. You know, Matt will say, like, the oil's not hot enough, but I actually like it when the potatoes suck in that gorgeous olive oil, and then
this is that butter thing again.
and so it sort of poaches, and then after, you know, once it's cooked through, then I'll crank up the heat and get my golden crispy, like, color on the outside. But olive oil to me is a food. I mean, I'm not trying to avoid it. I'm trying to figure out ways to eat it.
Well, so can you explain when you have it on the lowest possible temperature, and then how much olive oil do you put in the pan?
So if I'm doing shrimp or if I'm doing salmon, the key is in olive oil. The only problem I have with olive oil is it can be expensive. So I try to find a pan that's very small, right, that fits the piece. So I'm not wasting space and dumping gallons of olive oil in a pot. I'm trying to find a very small pan that I can just put. Let's say I'm cooking a half a pound of shrimp. I want to find a very small pan that I pack in there and just cover with olive oil.
Just cover with olive oil.
Just cover.
Now, can you use that same olive oil you cooked in to add to your dressing on your salad? But I'm asking you that because you've put raw fish into it.
No, so but now you've brought it up to temperature, right? You're still going to cook
it. Is that up to temperature if it's on low?
Yes, because you're still going to try to get that shrimp cooked, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to just
warm
the shrimp.
But it's only a couple of few minutes. Is that enough time?
Yes.
The gambas al ajillo, when we cook it, we cook the shrimp really slowly, salt, and then you're adding even like one like mild chili to it. Sliced garlic. Hey, forget about that. And then by the time you're done, we're actually taking crusty bread and eating the olive oil, you know, that it's been cooking in. It's salty, garlicky.
Yeah, because you've made shrimp oil.
Yeah.
How shrimp cool oil. Is that? Exactly. You've made shrimp oil. That's pretty cool. So as long as, and this is the rule of thumb, as long as the shrimp is cooked, the oil is cooked. Anything in the oil that could have tainted it is cooked.
I love learning about this. Yeah. Oh, this is some. Thank
Cooking you. Cooking olive oil is wonderful.
Yeah, really. Thanks for brainstorming because you've given me just fantastic ideas. Okay, so Boston lettuce salad with herbs and toasted almonds. Found this online at Real Simple. And this is, I wanted to do something that's kind of classic and simple. I love Boston lettuce because I like the softness of
it. Me too.
And people have sort of forgotten about Boston lettuce. So
smooth.
Sliced almonds that you can toast and the Boston lettuce or bib, parsley, cilantro, some chives. You can make lemon and shallot vinaigrette is a good one on this. Or you could make your own Italian or get bottled Italian vinaigrette. Toast your almonds and then toss everything together with the almonds and your vinaigrette. And you have the crispiness of those almonds and the Boston lettuce. And it feels like you're having something. You could throw other things in there too, but a really good one. Okay.
It's sweet. I know that Boston lettuce in the summer is so sweet.
I love the package it comes in too. It's like so delicate. It's like a present.
It's like usually so hydroponic.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do after we take our break. We're going to hear about Crab Louise salad that Chris has come up with. We're going to hear about a cucumber avocado salad and one of our best, the corn salad. How can we not do it? Or the grilled corn salad. We just have to. There's also a quinoa salad for people who like the whole grain thing going on. You can add that quinoa to so many things. Anyway, more salads coming your way. Please support your local food growers and food makers. And you can find every recipe we've talked about and many more salads we didn't even get to right now and 24/7 online at foodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation after this quick break. Stay with us.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Wow.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
Now let me see if I understand you. The problem I think you said.
Oh my.
And maybe I'm often misconstrued, but babe, I'll never pull your leg.
Mercy.
Just don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Calling again.
Oh, Jonathan McNichol, that is a great choice. Who is that? Do you know?
Kelsey Grammer. Frasier, baby.
Oh,
is it really?
Wow. No kidding.
Nice.
Oh, wow. I love that. All right, what are we doing? I just want to listen to that. I'm Faith Middleton, it turns out, with the gang, and this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, and to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. I am just mortified. Every time I say what these breaks are, and you know, the name of the show, and it has my name in it, and then you have to tweet this name, and it's like easy for people to remember, but it's like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Okay. I want to do the Crab Louis salad from Chris in just a minute. Lori makes a salad that is much loved. Lori, your grape tomato salad, what do you
Which
do?
Which I did get from Chris. It's actually grape tomatoes and cherry peppers and fresh mozzarella and olives. And you mix all of that together with some salt and pepper and a little olive oil and balsamic vinegar. And did I leave anything out?
No, that's it.
Now, do you do the vinegar peppers in a jar in the supermarket,
that's
right?
That's right.
Okay,
that's
right. And you seed them and dice them up? And...
They're already seeded. All you have to do is chop them up. Mm. It's a really great, fast, put-together salad. And in the summertime, there's nothing better. It's just.
And this was a lazy Sunday where we didn't want to do anything. So really, we went to the olive bar in the supermarket and just grabbed
together.
A bunch of stuff. They had the mixed, you know, grape tomatoes of different colors in the supermarket. We're like, those look pretty. And then it just went together, 1, 2, 3.
I wonder if you could use a briny liquid it comes in.
I do.
You do, right?
I do, yes.
See, she's
because
taking it.
Yeah. It has flavor.
I don't bother draining them at all. Yep. I just kind of, it's really, really refreshing. It is. It's good. But if you don't, if you want to keep going with it, which I do, I started to buy the jars now because I keep making it over and over. And I think that's more economical.
And the mozzarella, do you do it in slices? Do you chop it up in cubes?
I get those little mozzarella balls, the fresh mousse. And then I just cut them in half, which is, it's really nice. It's a really nice salad.
So on our website right now, foodschmooze.org, a really nice one. All right, Crab Louis. First of all, where does Crab Louis, how did he get its name?
We're going to go to Alex for this one.
So I'm not sure the accuracy of this, but I'm guessing 99.9%. So Crab Louis is a West Coast thing, and it was had its origins using Dungeness crab from Seattle, but there's a San Francisco sort of connection to it, and it uses crab meat and the signature Louis salad dressing or Green Goddess salad dressing or something to that effect.
That's where that comes from.
The Louis dressing is basically a riff on French dressing. It has onion, it has ketchup and mayonnaise and relish. It's that
sweet stuff.
It has all that sweet stuff. And
that's funny.
Hello.
Okay. Well, first
how could
of all,
you not love
that's
that?
That's the same stuff that goes on a Big Mac, right?
That's the same
that's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. That's
two
a special
all beef
sauce.
Patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on
now
a sesame
talking.
Seed
bun.
So thank you, Alex Trebek Province.
Yes.
And now, Chris, your Crab Louis sandwich.
So again, it's kind of like his composed salad of the Niçoise. So you put this together. I start with crab meat, and you can buy this in any supermarket.
Yeah, where do you get to crab
meat? Oh, gosh, you can get it any supermarket.
In the can or in the container?
You know what? I go
refrigerator.
I go with the pasteurized now, and I just found it today in a pouch, just like tuna comes in now. And it's refrigerated, so you can either do the pouch or you can do a pasteurized can.
Okay. I just want to say that the pouches have more chemicals. I don't know why. Hmm.
Yeah,
but
why
they
is
do.
That?
They put all these weird chemicals in
there. Then when they can
there.
It, right?
Yeah, then the can.
So go with the can because you can buy those cans at any fish market, at any fish station at the supermarket.
I've seen it in jars too.
Yeah, jars, cans, whatever. And it's
in the refrigerator section.
Yeah, in the refrigerator. So they're canned. They're canned and they're refrigerated, right?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so you take that, you mix it with a little diced onion, diced celery, and some fresh parsley. And then for the dressing, I do mayonnaise, ketchup, pickle relish, lemon juice, a dash of hot sauce, right? So you mix that with your crab stuff.
Without breaking it up too much.
Yeah, without breaking it up too much. And then for the salad, I do romaine lettuce, cherry tomatoes, hard-boiled egg, and avocado that I slice. And basically, I put a little dressing on the lettuce, and then I put a little dressing in with the crab, and then I put the lettuce down. I arrange the avocado slices on the plate, the hard-boiled egg, and the tomatoes, and then right in the center, I put a nice scoop of this crab salad.
Sounds like
a
platter.
That's great. So, and Lori, you just tried this, and you really enjoyed it. Chris made some for us.
It was excellent.
We're going to get to the corn salad, either off the cob, no matter how you've done it, or the grilled corn salad that Chris has been mentioning. You will find also online as many of these as we can post. We hope to post them all. The cucumber avocado salad, the chickpea salad, the quinoa salad. We may end up talking about them here. The simplest panzanella salad, which is a favorite of mine. The spring orzo pasta salad. The tomatoes are here, of course, and so you've got to do a great tomato salad. So anyway, Chris has even done a grilled turkey kielbasa and vegetable salad.
Yeah, and that's a good one.
And that is surprisingly delicious and weirdly works.
And like Alex
whoever
can say,
thought
I
about
just
this
had
in the summer.
Yeah, and Alex, like Alex can go home and say, I just had salad for lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. A sensible salad.
A sensible salad with a quarter pound of kielbasa in it.
Okay. I call it protein.
Protein.
Chris, let's do your grilled corn salad. Ears of corn that are grilled. Red onion, garlic, tomatoes, fresh basil, Kalamata olives, extra virgin olive oil, balsamic vinegar, salt and pepper. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's real easy. And for this one, I like to do the corn grilled out of the husk so it gets a little charred. So again, that's your personal preference. If you like it more on the steam side, you can do it in the husk, like we said in previous shows where you soak it in salt water. But with this, like I said, for me, I like it like to be charred. So I grill it nice and charred. I take the kernels off with a knife. And just toss it in a bowl with the small diced red onion, minced up really fine garlic, a couple of tomatoes chopped up, basil, which I just thinly slice, olives, which I just rough chop, balsamic vinegar, olive oil, black pepper. And then I taste it before I add salt because I'm always surprised. Sometimes when everything's so fresh like this, it doesn't need any salt because you get a little bit from the olives anyway. So you might not need the salt. So just taste it before you add that salt. And then if it needs a little bit, go for it. But boy, and the colors. We have a picture of this. Look at the colors of this. You just want to eat a whole bowl of it.
You do. You really do. And Alex, do you have another one for us?
Sure. So mine's similar to Chris, but we'll make this. We'll grill our corn and then take a knife on a cutting board and chop off the kernels, just like you did, Chris. And into a bowl, we'll chop up red onion. We'll do actually a can of black beans. So we just buy beans from a grocery store, rinse it underneath a colander to get the stuff off. Mm-hmm. And that goes in. We'll do a squeeze of fresh lime, salt and pepper, fresh cilantro, a little cumin, olive oil, and you just toss it together. And just like you, Chris, we'll sit like above the bowl and just like while we're cooking and just sort of eat it, and it will be gone by the time like everything else is done.
Oh, I do a version of that too, but I add grape tomatoes to it.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Chris and I both love the BLT salad. We do it with potatoes and it with greens.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why.
Two of us are crazy about BLT
salad.
There's
no better salad on the planet Earth.
It's just so good. Okay.
Why didn't we come up with this years ago?
I know.
Because BLT.
Yeah. And the potato salad, by the way, has chopped crisp bacon in it. And it has lettuce, romaine lettuce and you could use iceberg that you chop up. It's chopped salad in there. You'd put it at the last minute and it stays nice and crunchy through the whole time.
Oh my God.
Cherry tomatoes that you half, lots and lots of bacon and mayo. And so you really do have a BLT potato salad. So anyway, that's that. Now, for your BLT green salad that we both like to make, go ahead. Tell us.
Yeah,
I do
six strips of bacon. I try to get the thick cut. Even if you have to go you can go to – I'll give you a tip. Big Y now will slice it for you in their meat section. Mm-hmm. So you can say, I'd like some bacon, please. And they say, how much? You say, a half a pound. And they say, how thick would you slice it? And you usually say it's three slices. No, not that thick.
Really?
But do you know what I mean? You can slice it any thickness. So, yeah, I like it a nice half inch thick.
Half inch.
Yeah.
Oh, and you tell them
gosh.
That? And
yeah.
Do they make faces at you?
No,
or do they laugh?
No, they go.
Okay.
They give me the finger and say, yeah, you're the guy.
He knows.
So take that and I cook it and I chop it in a big – I like big pieces. And then I take grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, cut them in half. For the bread on my BLT, I like using croutons. You can make your own croutons or buy whatever croutons you have.
Using white bread?
Yes, of course, because that's where it comes from. And then I like a little sliced onion or diced onion in it. Lots of basil, balsamic, extra virgin olive oil, kosher salt, a pinch of sugar if it needs it. If the tomatoes aren't the best, that's only if. If you're using really ripe tomatoes, it doesn't need it. A couple grinds of fresh pepper, and then on a big thing of lettuce. Oh, that's it. And just dive in. And the more bacon, the better.
So why can you take that and put that on two slices of white bread and then make it a sandwich filling?
Or no, you know what we've done?
Pita pocket.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've done. A pita pocket, or we've also done the wrap. With the croutons and everything.
Yeah.
So you put it in a wrap so you can – I always say a wrap is only just taking your salad to go and eating it, And you can actually eat
and
your
something
salad.
To make sure you get all the dressing because it sucks in instead of using napkin, it sucks into edible bread.
Yeah. I'd like something to dip it in that.
Hey, why couldn't you? I'm thinking about BLT boats. Why couldn't you take a long piece of romaine lettuce, you know, with the crunchy and the something, and into it put a smear of mayo.
There you go.
Chopped bacon.
Tomatoes. Little chopped croutons.
Some chopped croutons. And you just hold it in your hand. And you just bite into it and you eat it that way.
It's like celery with peanut butter.
No, I've got it. I'm going to make little boats out of endive.
Endive, yeah.
That's going to be on my past hors d'oeuvre menu. No, because the tomatoes are sweet, the bacon is salty, bitter just jumps
right in. I feel like you could
have
like a salad party. Like you could have all your friends over and you just do like 15 different salads.
And you can say what you always say, I just had salad.
Sensible salad. At a sensible party with sensible salad.
Sensible guests.
Sensible conversation.
Yeah, see? We ate well today. We ate really well today. All we had was salad.
Chris, here you go. Can you tell us about your, before we run out of time, your 16 bean salad?
Yeah, and I love this one because this one was one of those last minute, I had to go to a party where everyone has to bring something, right? Everyone's gone to. Yeah, you hate those and you're like, and for me, you know,
I don't hate those either.
I do because people always expect more from me.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's just a good point. Yeah.
You know, and then everyone's like, what did Chris bring? And, you know, and it's a lot of pressure, and I just don't, it's not, yeah, it doesn't always have to be that way.
You should just go buy something.
Yeah, I should just go buy something. I thought that. But then I went to the supermarket, like I sometimes do late at night, and I do my, what I call the walk around. And what I do is I walk around the supermarket and just like people watch, check out ingredients because it fascinates me. And in the dried bean aisle, I found what every supermarket has. They call it the soup bean mix. Some of them will even come with a little packet in there to make the broth.
Oh, right.
Right? And I looked at it. I was like, I could do this. So what I ended up doing is I cooked.
Smart.
So I took that little packet and had all kinds of weird stuff in it. And I chucked it. And I cooked those beans. And then I made a salad out of it. But before I made the salad, I thought to myself, hey, I wonder what beans are in here. So on the back of the package before I threw it away, I looked at all the beans and I said, I wonder how many beans are in here. So I counted them up. And I was like, oh, there's 16 beans in here. I'm going to tell people this is a 16-bean salad.
Plus small rocks.
Yeah. No, I culled through my beans. I always put them on a little sheet pan, and I look through to make sure there's no foreign objects. All right, so I cooked my beans. What? No,
it's true. They get
objects
through the harvesting.
Yeah, no foreign objects. So I used I added to the warm beans, I added a chopped onion, 4 plum tomatoes that I diced up small, an English cucumber that I diced up, and then in this the dressing I kind of made a little different. I got the beaker of a blender, so just a regular bar blender, and in it I threw garlic, flat leaf parsley, fresh basil, Dijon mustard, a pinch of sugar, a pinch of salt, red wine vinegar, olive oil, and a little bit of cold water to get it all spinning. And I made a dressing like that real quick. I dumped it over the top of the warm beans with the vegetables, tossed it and brought it, and everyone was like, wow. And I could hear people talking. It's like, wow, you know, that's something. He actually took 16 different beans. Because I'm a chef, so everyone thought, oh yeah, he really took.
And then
took
now you wonder why everyone's like, I wonder what Chris brought.
Yeah, because I brought six. Yeah, because
last time you brought 16 bean salad,
and it's really just the soup mix. And I counted that there were 16 beans.
What were your vegetables again?
It was just cucumber, a little red onion, and some cherry or plum tomatoes that I just diced up small.
Wow.
And it's a great salad, and it's a great story. And you can make your own 16 bean salad and be like, I made 16. And you don't tell people what it is because no one asks.
Just roam the aisles of the supermarket until
late at night.
I'm not sure we would have the same. 10:30
at night, so no one else is in there except.
But doesn't it take a while to make the dried beans?
You have to soak them for sure.
No, I'm a crock pot guy.
So you throw them in the crock pot.
Yeah, I throw them in the crock pot. I cook them overnight or for 6 hours and done.
Yum.
You never
what
look
a fun a show. Time. I have had the best time. Thank you to all of you, Alex and Chris, Jonathan and Lori. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We're online right now or anytime. You can find the recipes that just go on forever. Foodschmooze.org. Thank you to the thousands of you who are visiting our site. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
come to mind.